Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the podcast, What Are You Doing With Your Children? Today's episode is titled, Dear Parents, Do Your Children Have a Healthy Relationship with Anger? Let's discuss. The news of the murder suicide last week in Lagos, Nigeria, sent shockwaves through social media. Another Nigerian woman added a digit to the domestic violence statistic in the most gruesome way imaginable. And as I read the horrific details of the case, I thought about the countless victims of domestic violence and what we parents can do to prevent this monster from rearing its ugly head in our children. Let's talk about anger, all right? Because anger is the root cause of a lot of domestic violence cases. Anger is a normal, healthy emotion, like psychologists would tell us. And they let us know that it is our body's fight response to keep us safe when we feel threatened, and that we get angry in attempts to maintain our equilibrium. But it is a lack of constructive anger management that blurs the lines between angry feelings and aggressive behavior. If this is left unchecked, it can metamorphose into adult aggression and poor mental health in adulthood. So, what can we as parents do to ensure that our children have a healthy relationship with this emotion called anger? And as I was thinking about it and doing my research, I came up with some points that I would like to share with everyone, especially parents or would-be parents. First of all, I think we need to teach our children how to label and identify their feelings. Once they can label and identify their feelings, they can differentiate between those feelings and their behavior. Your behavior is not the way you feel. Your behavior is a consequence of how you feel. Our children need to be able to have strong communication skills where they can verbalize their feelings, verbalize their anger, their frustrations, their disappointment, so that they can further manage the behavior that comes as a consequence of those feelings. When children are able to label their feelings, then they'll be able to create the boundaries of that behavior. For example, you can be angry about a situation, but you cannot hit the person that has created or co-created that situation with you. You cannot break things, you cannot destroy property, and you cannot call people names. So that is what I mean by children being able to differentiate between feelings and the behavior. When children are also able to label and, you know, identify behavior, then they'll be able to get to the root cause of that emotion. I am upset because XYZ broke my toy. XYZ took my toy without asking me. I am upset because I am not getting the solution I want from this activity. When children are able to do this, they will begin to see that anger is a mask that we use to avoid dealing with those feelings. Sometimes the feelings are embarrassing, and instead of us tackling the issue behind the feelings, we just get upset. So we need to create strong communication skills in our children and strong identification skills. And we as parents need to be able to respond intelligently and calmly to our children's tantrums and their anger so that they will be able to, in turn, have a calm disposition to angry situations or angry outbursts. When our children know how to identify their anger, identify their feelings, and identify the behavioral consequences that come from those feelings, then we will now be able to teach them to de-escalate their feelings, okay? So calm down, think critically, you know, think constructively about what is going on. You cannot make a decision when you're angry. All those quotes, you know, and all those things we're taught as adults, those are the things we have to teach our children. It wouldn't come overnight, but we have to gradually make an effort to teach them these things so that they can de-escalate those situations, calm down, and think about ways to solve their problems. Which leads me to the second point. You have to teach your children constructive problem solving. And constructive problem solving lies in the areas of being proactive. You have to teach your children to be proactive. You have to teach them to use their anger as an impetus of change. So you were angry because XYZ took your toy or broke your toy. Can you prevent XYZ from taking your toy or breaking your toy? Because you know that that is your trigger and that is what gets you upset. So that's what I mean by proactive behavior. You also need to teach them to analyze and identify how they have contributed to the problem. So if you leave your toy carelessly on the ground, then it leaves room, it gives opportunity for somebody to take it without your permission, for somebody to use it in a way you wouldn't like and they will break it. Or it could be a bully. Okay, have you identified that you're being bullied? How does it make you feel? What have you done about it? Have you escalated the problem to your teacher, your parents? So stuff like that. Analysis, identification, and then solving the problem. When you do this, they're also able to learn how to express their needs and their wants in a very polite and non-violent or non-provocative manner. Okay? They do this without getting attacked or feeling attacked. So I do not like what you did to me. I do not like what happened. Okay, this is how I want to be spoken to. This is how I want to be treated by my friends. If you want to use my things, you have to ask me first because I feel rather upset when you take my things without permission and then you break them. So it is linked to the first point of labeling and differentiating. And then it also teaches them empathy. When they can verbalize their emotions, communicate what is going on, identify what is going on, then they would have empathy to understand where the person was coming from. Okay, I took a toy. I didn't know who owned it. I'm sorry I broke it. It teaches them to see the world from multiple points of view. The third point. If you want your children to adopt a particular behavioral pattern, then you have to model that pattern. How do you as a parent manage your emotions? How do your children see you manage anger, manage your feelings? What are the consequences of your own feelings? Do you raise your voice? Do you use swear words? Do you call people names? Do you slam the door? Do you break stuff? Do you hit people? Your children would learn from what you do and not what you say. And you have to show your children how to deal with their emotions in a healthy way and still shield them from adult issues. Okay, so you don't want to show them all the problems that come with adulthood because we still want to preserve their innocence. But we need to be able to teach them healthy emotional management, healthy anger management by being role models. So you need to be also, you need to also be able to verbalize your own feelings, let them know why you're upset, and how you're going to use that anger to change the situation. So it is like sitting in traffic, you're late for something and you're upset. That is a good teaching moment, maybe to teach your children time management, to teach them how the government has failed in urban planning, to teach them how we could solve problems by having multiple roads and road systems so that people are not just choked on one route to a particular place. So always use those moments to verbalize, to teach, and to teach constructive problem solving. Number four, you have to establish rules and coping skills in your household. Anger is a natural emotion. Anger is allowed because we would all get upset. But the rules you would set in your house should center around behaving respectfully towards others, irrespective of the emotions raging inside us. And those are the rules you have to set. You can get upset at a situation, but you cannot hit people. You cannot break things. You cannot slam doors. You cannot throw things. You cannot raise your voice. You cannot call people names. You can't be physically aggressive, and you cannot destroy property. You have to set these rules for children to understand that, yes, your emotion is natural. You cannot feel ashamed of the emotions you feel, but the consequences of the things you do are the things that are either acceptable or not acceptable. So you can teach them to pause, use the pause technique, which says they breathe in and count to four slowly through their nose, and then through their mouth, they count to eight, okay? Or you can also teach them to sit calmly, right? Or go to a quiet space, calm down, really think about what has happened and how they can solve it without being aggressive with people. You can introduce tension balls, okay? Squishy balls, pressing Play-Doh, walking away calmly, writing down how they feel if they don't want to talk about it, listening to music. They can stomp their foot if they want to, but they can't kick anything because sometimes people need some form of physical release of how they're feeling. So you can get them coloring books for them to artistically express what has happened, right? And when they are calm, they need to talk about it. So some people would maybe shed a tear or two because it's really frustrating, but they need to understand that they cannot be physically aggressive to release that emotion. And that comes from you as a parent. Setting rules also helps your children to identify their triggers. Okay, so once they know that there's a rule, I can't hit anyone. I can't call anyone names. I have to be respectful. I can't be physically aggressive. I can't destroy property when I'm angry. Then they will begin to become aware of the warning signs, their triggers. And this will make them, you know, either stay away from that situation because they know it is a trigger, or, you know, proactively prevent that from happening by being confident enough to communicate how they feel. And setting rules also gives you an opportunity to teach emotional intelligence to your children, okay? So empathy, understanding your triggers, understanding where people are coming from, critically analyzing the situation to find out why what is happening and what you're going to do about it. So anger management, or teaching your children anger management, is actually a multiple prong to teaching them so many other things. You can use timeouts, okay? Go to your room or go and sit in a quiet corner. And when you're calm, then we can have a conversation. So you can use timeouts positively, where they don't see it as timeout in punishment, but timeout in we need to de-escalate what is going on at the moment. This fourth point of using rules, okay, and setting the ground rules for how they manage their emotions can also help you reinforce responsibility. So you threw your toys away in your fit of anger, and now you have to go and pick it up, right? You have to go and clean up that mess you made when you had an anger tantrum. You have to go and apologize to the person you hit. You have to, you know, so responsibility, you have to clean up when you do this so that they understand that at the end of the day, if I'm going to, you know, have to make amends or clean up a mess I made because I was so angry, then I have to find a way not to even behave that way in the first place. So you can use this opportunity to reinforce responsibility. The fifth thing we have to do as parents to help our children manage their anger so that they don't become monsters in adulthood is to offer positive consequences, okay, and also negative consequences. So if they do the right thing, if they manage their emotions properly, then you have to follow with rewards or a token or an acknowledgement that, oh, I'm so proud of the way you handled that situation. You were so mature, you know, you were so respectful, and you spoke through your emotions, okay? So you're like a mini therapist in your house. You're trying to get your children to behave properly. So you use positive consequences when they manage their emotions properly, and then you have to enforce negative consequences when they break your anger rules in the household. It is very important that you are consistent with either your positive consequences or your negative consequences so that your children know that this is acceptable and this is not acceptable. You have to have the same rules everywhere, in the house, at the grocery store, at a party, at the playground, in school. Everything must be the same because you're trying to reinforce a particular behavioral pattern. You're trying to tackle the issues in childhood so that they don't rear an ugly head in adulthood. Remember, the child is the father of the man. And finally, if all these things do not work, if you feel your child still has issues managing their emotions, please seek professional help. Get a child counselor, get a child therapist who would work with your family to ensure that your child has positive emotional management. We need to flatten this domestic violence curve. We need to pause the statistics. We cannot have men and women dying at the hands of their loved ones. Parents, we need to wake up and stop anger issues in their tracks and save the lives of our loved ones in adulthood. No one should die at the hands of their loved ones. My name is Daisy Iye, and this has been another episode of the podcast, What Are You Doing With Your Children? Stay safe, stay blessed. Bye.